Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vosk and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, delving into the very fabric of our being, and viewing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the InIssues Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I am so glad you're with us today. We have a program that is going to be full of information. It's a program that's going to be looking at Darfur. We'll be looking at the China Olympics. You know, this Saturday is 08-08-08. I mean, it's another one of those numbers that you can't... Do you remember a few years ago when they had the 666 when it was 2006, June 6th? And then, of course, last year was very special for us. We did a whole conference on 777. Well, this Saturday is going to be 888. And guess what? If you wait long enough, 11 months from now will be 999. Well, before we get on with all of these numbers, we've got some interesting information about this Saturday's event, particularly about the China Olympics. And before we go there, we're going to be talking a little bit about Darfur and how we can make a change over there. And of course, we've got letters coming up. I've got to tell you, I'm overwhelmed with the response to these podcasts, especially got an interesting letter from a gentleman in China. I just really appreciate all of the sincere comments that have been coming out. Well, we'll share those a little bit later on in this program. But for right now, I want to move on to the topic of the day. And this time, we're going to do a two-part program about this topic because I think it's really important. In a couple weeks, we're going to be celebrating a feast called the Assumption of the Holy Virgin Mary. Now, before you start going on and saying, okay, here's another Mary broadcast, here's another something done to Saint Mary, just put all of your baggage to one side. Just stop for a moment. Before you start saying, okay, here's another Mary program, just wait. And trust that, like, you know, I think the trademark of our show is you're going to hear something different. You will hear definitely something different because we're going to be going in a direction that you would not assume. You know, sometimes when we talk about Armenian church, in fact, I think that today will be one of those missing piece broadcasts. You're going to say, what is this? People have been writing to us and asking, what is this next step with Father Voskin? Is this an Armenian church? Are you talking about old stuff? And what is this? Well, today's going to sort of be that piece that fits into the bigger puzzle and put it all together. But before that, put aside your baggage. Hold off. Take a deep breath. And let's look into this topic of Saint Mary. Who is this woman and why is she so important? So important, in fact, that in all of the world, she stands out as this unique person. I mean, how many times have you heard these stories, especially coming out of the Catholic Church, about apparitions, about Saint Mary performing these miracles some 2,000 years after she has been on this planet, yet they'd still talk about her. This intense, intense woman, this intense, intense person who is still touching us today in a very unique manner. And I want to talk about Saint Mary in different terms. You know, in the Armenian Orthodox faith, we understand Saint Mary as, we call her, Astvazadzin, means the bearer of God. Sometimes a little bit more graphically, we call her the mother of God, but the person who bore God. What a beautiful word this is, because I think when we go to mother of God, I think sometimes the imagery is difficult. In fact, isn't that one of the images that a young kid has? Well, you know, we have that puzzle. Well, if God created everything, who created God? And then what do? We just throw the child a bone, so to speak. We just say, well, God has always been. And we expect that child to understand, you know? When we don't even understand it, what do you mean God has always been? Well, who created God? What do you mean there's no beginning to this whole thing? Well, then we start fabricating these myths and these other ideas about where it all began and everything, and we come up with a term called the Mother of God. And we say, well, if God had no beginning, how could God have a mother? So before you start going into those directions, let's talk about the purest sense of the word Astvadzadzin. It means the bearer of God, somebody who bore God, who gave birth to God. And I know it sounds confusing. You start saying, what do you mean somebody gave birth to God? How could that be? How could God have a birth time if we've been told that God has no beginning? Well, hold on. Armenian Orthodoxy. I've told you, it's the earliest forms of understanding what Christ is talking about. It is tapping not into Christ as much as tapping into the entire form of the universe. And when we understand the bearer of God, not as an event that took place 2,000 years ago, but as an invitation that takes place today, we start getting a different feel for what this is all about. So you need to be patient for a few minutes. Together, we're going to go through some material. And together, we hope that we will start getting a different understanding, a more orthodox understanding, not something that has been programmed to us through Hollywood or some of the imagery that we have from childhood, but a pure understanding that taps into the essence of the universe. In other words, Mary being the bearer of God is not an event that took place only 2,000 years ago, but an invitation that takes place today for us to bear God. Now to do that, we have to go through some of the material. And to do that, first and foremost, put the baggage to one side. Put our prejudices, put our preconceived notions of what this is all about to one side. Put down your guards. It's not another lecture about Mary and how great Mary is and what you need to do and how much water you need to drink at the Lord's and so on and so on. It's about something very basic. You know, Mary, Saint Mary, has fascinated people for centuries. When you look at the stories that have evolved around her, when you look at some of the elaborate artwork that has taken place, you realize that people have been influenced, have been touched by something greater than themselves. In fact, in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we have a whole set of hymns that are dedicated to Saint Mary. They are called the Mezza Susse, and these are chanted daily in a rather upbeat, festive manner. These are chanted and they glorify God for this beautiful love that He has given us. And I challenge you to think in those terms now as we look at the stories, because Mary is for us first and foremost truly a saint. She is set apart from all other people. Why? Not because she's somebody very special, picked by God, but because of her actions. You see, this is something that people always forget and lose sight of. Many times, the Orthodox tradition gets criticized for looking up to the saints. To me, saints are fascinating people. Saints should be venerated. They need to be set apart from everybody else. Everybody says, oh, you can go to God directly, da-da-da-da. You know, everybody has these kind of little notions of how to approach God, and you can do whatever you want. Don't let me sit here and tell you that this is what you need to do. But if you really think about it for a moment, you understand that in life, you could look at Jesus as this example of the exemplary life, and you'll never attain the things that he does. You can't be perfect. You can't. It's just part of the equation. It's the definition of being human. And that's why I like the saints. In fact, I think the saints are fascinating for that reason, because these are human beings that have risen to the occasion. These are flesh and bone, like you and me, having all of the complexities, all of the wants and the desires that keep them from perfection. And yet, these saints have risen to the occasion. They've risen beyond themselves. They've gone, they've transcended their humanness and have been able to rise a little bit in that human condition. And telling us that, yes, if we give it a chance, if we so dedicate our lives to being so, we too can rise to the occasion. And St. Mary is probably the one person who did the ultimate. What did she do? You say, what great thing did she do? God gave her this opportunity to have Jesus Christ. It was nothing of her doing. Well, that's where you need to go and look at the story. The story comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And you find a young girl named Mary who is betrothed to this man, Joseph. And betrothed, it's a fancy name. It's like, it's a little bit more than the engagement that we talk about right now. I think right now you go down to the local jeweler, you buy a stone and you stick it on a woman's hand, and that becomes somebody who is engaged to you. And vice versa. I guess the women buy nice little jewelry for the men too, and they become engaged to the woman. This is a little bit more than that, in that they were actually committed to one another, and Mary finds that she is with child. Now, this is not today. This is not Angelina and Brad. We're talking about first century Palestine, where there is a moral law that is being enforced by, let's just say, no liberal standards. In fact, the punishment for being pregnant outside of marriage was a stoning. And Mary knew this was the case. In fact, that's the mark of being a saint or being a martyr, knowing that you could do otherwise and choosing to do what you did. This is very important. Mary knew that if she was caught being pregnant outside of marriage, the punishment would be stoning by death. And this is not just something that you get thrown onto the latest celebrity magazine or TV show, but this is very cruel and unusual punishment. Do I have to say it any other way? I mean, we get the whole point. Mary was not going to enjoy a nice childhood or a teenage life. She was, they tell us, 15, 16 years old when this happened. And Mary is told that she is with child outside of marriage. And she says, how could this be? I've never known a man. I've never been with a man. How can I be with child? And she is told that she is having the child from the Holy Spirit. And here is what makes her the saint. She said, let it be to me according to your will. In other words, the will of God supersedes, is a greater will than my own individual will, desires. I could kick back and sit back and I could be 15, 16 years old and enjoy this beautiful life. I could do whatever I want. I can go and have this fantastic life with this nice man. This carpenter is coming and I could just say no to you. But instead, I'm willing to take the chance of being actually killed. But I will say yes, because it is not my will, but the will of God. And Mary says yes. Now make a big point of this because you know the rest of the story. Joseph, then being a righteous man, he decides to put Mary away, it says. That means basically to divorce her. What do you mean you have a child? But he trusts his wife. And so he trusts her, and together they bear this child, Jesus Christ. And you know the rest of the story. And the story is a very difficult story because it tells us that Mary knew all along what was in store for this child, knowing that this child was going to be crucified at one day for his incredible capacity to love. And yet Mary says okay, says yes. And this is the mark of her sainthood, that she rose to the occasion and said yes, despite the problems that she would have. And this is a more intense problem than just the physical difficulties on herself, because it tells us, Scripture tells us, that she knew what kind of life he would have, what kind of life Jesus would have, that he would be the marked Christ. He would be the one that would be killed, would see a death at an early age. And despite all this, she says yes. And you say that, well, okay, if God had talked to me, if God took the chance right now to say to me that you need to bear Jesus Christ inside of you, you will have a child named Jesus, and he will save the world from their sins. Well, certainly I would say yes. And you see, that's the problem, because we start thinking in terms of this story as just a story that took place 2,000 years ago, instead of realizing that the story of Saint Mary, an Armenian Orthodox interpretation of it, is not an event, but an invitation. Because the same invitation that God made to Saint Mary, he is making to you. He is making to me. He's saying, I want you to bear Jesus Christ. And the key to this is to understand that Christ is the manifestation of love. God wants you and me to bear love. The bearer of God, the mother of God, is not the bearer of just an event, but the bearer of love, which has no beginning, which has no end, which is the true connection in the entire universe. And we understand that Saint Mary became this vehicle through which love was born. No different than the invitation that is given to you and me daily to bear love in our lives. Okay, I'm going to ask you to think about that for a moment. Let's take a little break right now and listen to some music and contemplate the idea of bearing God, of being able to bear love in our own lives. While we listen to one of today's songs, it's called Beautiful Boy. It is written by John Lennon and dedicated to his son, Sean. And I picked this out because I want you to go beyond the genders. Here's a dad singing to his boy. Think about it in terms of Saint Mary, of course. We talk about her description and her pain in looking at her child's life. Here is a dad looking at his child's life with all the aspirations, hopes, and dreams that he has for his child. I do this intentionally because I want us to look beyond the genders. If we're talking about bearing love, it's not just a mother who can bear love. Men, you need to bear love. We all need to bear love. That's what the call is to. That's what the invitation is about. So let's listen now to A Beautiful Boy, written by John Lennon for his son, Sean. This version is performed by Ben Harper. It appears on Amnesty International's Instant Karma Save Darfur album. Here it is, Beautiful Boy.
Close your eyes, have no fear. The monster's gone, he's on the run, and your dad is here. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Before you go to sleep, say a little prayer every day and every way. Getting better and better. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. out on the ocean. The ships sail away. I can hardly wait to see you come of age. I guess we'll just have to be patient, 'cause it's a long way to go and a hard road to hoe. A long way to go, but in the meantime, before you cross the street, take my hand. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Before you go to sleep, say a little prayer every day in every way. It's getting better and better and better. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. You're my beautiful, 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 beautiful boy.
Saint Mary, thinking about her child, Jesus, and knowing what's up ahead of him, having all of these dreams for him, as any parent would, and knowing that your child will only spread love, and in payment for that love, will be crucified, the pain and the anguish, and how easy it would be to say no, but she says yes. Jesus is love. You and I are invited to bear love every single day. We are invited to love our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters. And instead of saying yes, we have excuses. We have ways of saying no to God. And sometimes because we have aspirations for our love, we want our love to go in a special direction. But as the songwriter tells us so beautifully, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. We have plans for our children as we do have plans for our love. And it just doesn't unfold the way we want to. And it's a question of being able to stand up and say, despite all of the hardships and all of the difficulties, thy will be done. And what is that will? For us to be able to love, to say yes to that ultimate love. Saint Mary was asked to bear Jesus Christ, love incarnate, at that moment in history. She could have made all kinds of excuses. She could have easily said no, and no one would have blamed her. She could have said, I want to be impregnated at a later time. She could have said, I believe in God, but I don't feel like being fanatical about it. She could have argued that she was a Jew and had no reason for any special appointment from God. But instead she said, let it be to me according to your will. Likewise, you and I are asked daily to bear love in our lives. Love your enemies. We can't do that. How about starting off with loving our brothers, loving our sisters, loving one another? Instead, we have all of the excuses that we need. I don't have time. I love in my heart. Oh, I read the Bible. I belong to that organization, and that organization does really good works. We've heard them all. Except the one thing that God demands of us. Something so simple as to say yes to God. Think about that for a moment. We listen to this beautiful song called Beautiful Boy, an ode from a parent of a bearer of love to the one that he loved. Now let's listen to the other. In the Armenian tradition, we have a beautiful song that we sing on the night of Good Thursday, Great Thursday, sometimes called Maundy Thursday. On that Thursday evening, we gather in the church for a very special service. And there is a song that everyone loves. It's called Udes Maidim. It is called Where is My Mother? It's just the opposite of Beautiful Boy. It's the child looking down from the cross at the mother. And we're going to listen to a version that appears on the soundtrack of Ararat, a movie that came out a few years ago. And I think it's very interesting because it's sung by a woman, and many times it is sung by a woman. In other words, the reference to love is not gender specific. And interestingly enough, this song doesn't appear in any of the liturgical books. In other words, it's not a part of the service, but has been added as a reflection of the popular feeling of the people. It is sung in all of the Armenian churches on Great Thursday, looking from the cross down, where is my mother?
Oh,
Ures Maidim, Where is My Mother? From the soundtrack of the movie Ararat. It's the question, it's the reference of looking down from the cross. And where is she? Where is the one person that had hope in me? It is the other side of the beautiful boy who we look at birth and have all kinds of desires. And yes, that love that we have, whether it's something that we project or we look back upon, sometimes has its difficult moments, sometimes has its crucifixions. But in all things, we understand the example that St. Mary gives us is the example of saying yes. Despite those hardships, despite the difficulties. Yes, love does hurt, but I'm willing to say yes to it. I told you that this would be a two-part podcast, two-part message. So we're going to continue on this theme next week as we explore St. Mary, as we get closer to her feast. This year, 2008, it will be on August 17th. So tune in next week and we'll continue with something a little bit different, just as today's, I hope, gave you some chance to look at St. Mary in a different light. Next week, we're going to look at the traditions around her in a different light. But yes, it is 2008 and we have an event coming up this Saturday. It's going to be 888. August 8th, 2008. And do you remember like a few years ago in 2006 when it was June 6th and it was 666 and we had some people saying that, oh, the mark of the beast and people opening up their Bibles. Well, this time I wish they would open their Bibles too for 888. Actually, last year we opened our Bibles for a different reason. When it was 777, we celebrated the day, the moment of forgiveness. Not that something special happened on July 7th, but it gave us an opportunity to talk about something that is so vital in our lives, forgiveness. Something bigger than just a bunch of numbers on a calendar. Because I tell you the truth, the calendars are something you and I have made up. It's nothing that God really needs to follow. I mean, people sometimes think that, oh, this is the date and God's going to do this according to our calendars. Relax, folks. Take a breath. God has his own time. Love has his own time. What's important for us is to take advantage of these dates and focus on some serious issues. Because we know that 8 is an auspicious number in many cultures, none more so than to the Chinese. 8 is the homonym of the Mandarin word for prosperity. And so it's very appropriate that this Saturday, 888, the Olympics, which is going to take place in China, begins exactly at 808. How nice, these beautiful numbers. Well, what's not nice is that there is a situation taking place that a country as big as China can certainly affect. And I'm not throwing the blame on them because certainly every one of us is responsible for this. And of course, I'm talking about the genocide taking place in Darfur. And China being this large country that is up and coming, that is arrived at this world scene right now and needing oil, is buying oil from the Sudanese government. So look how easy this equation is. You need oil. You buy from the cheapest source. Sudanese government needs arms, needs bombs, needs weapons. So they are going to sell it. They may not find a buyer out there, but if they sell the oil cheap enough, they can find a buyer. And certainly China is ready to buy. China deals with the Sudanese government. How about if we had an opportunity to tell the Sudanese government, you cannot continue your practice of genocide? You say, well, we can't do that. Well, how difficult would it have been? Do you remember 1915? Well, you may not remember it, but my grandparents certainly did. I certainly grew up hearing all of those stories of what the Turks did to the Armenians. And what if there was a way in 1915 to get them to stop? How? What if they didn't have the weapons? You know, it costs money to conduct a war. It costs money to conduct genocide. What if they didn't have the money? Well, it's the same formula right now. What if the Sudanese government didn't have the money to conduct their genocide? And as long as China's pumping in that money over there, it's up to us to say, hey, here is a solution, a viable solution. We don't need to pick up guns and go and fight people. How about if we just stopped the gun giving, the gun buying, stop the weapons that are going into that country? And certainly China can influence this situation. And that's why we have a guy, Gabriel Starring, who we're going to be honoring at our In Issues Person of the Year on September 5th. I hope you're marking your calendar for that. We're going to have an incredible evening, not just to honor him, not just to parade around, but to focus our attention on Darfur, what's happening right now. Just as this week, we're going to be able to focus our attention on what's going on in Darfur. Because as the world looks on to China for the Olympics, there's going to be the Darfur Olympics. And I hope that you're going to tune into this. You can tune in really easily by going to our website, inissues.org, pressing on the button, you'll be taken right there. But let me just read to you the letter that they've been sending out. It says, for over 5 years, the Sudanese government, backed by China, its closest ally, has been responsible for the genocide in Darfur that has murdered more than 300,000 people and caused over 2.5 million to flee their homes. As the Beijing Olympics approach, join us in taking action by declaring that we will not forget the people suffering in Darfur. Join us in watching the Darfur Olympics at darfurolympics.org. To keep the spotlight on Darfur during the Beijing Games, the Dream for Darfur organization is webcasting the Darfur Olympics August 8th through 15th. You'll be able to watch daily alternative programming, exclusive video footage, and reports by Mia Farrell from the Darfurian refugee camps, highlighting the desperate need for action. You'll be able to access educational material about the Darfur crisis and take action online. Watch the Darfur Olympics at darfurolympics.org. To kick off the week of action, Dream for Darfur is airing the alternative opening ceremony this Saturday, August 8th, 888, featuring musicians like R.E.M., Carly Simon, and many more. Please join us August 8th through 15th for the alternative programming and send a message to China and the Olympic corporate sponsors that the people of Darfur must not be forgotten. You know, I would have given anything if somebody in 1915 would have thought about the poor Armenians in Turkey. But you know what? That's the past and I can't change that. But today, Darfur is right now and I can do something about it. So I'm encouraging you. If I need to, I'll beg you. We need to do it. I'm doing it. Get on your email. Get on the websites. Get on the blogs. Get the world to send this forward information, forward this podcast to your friends and tell people about what's going on in Darfur. It's the same thing that was happening in 1915 in Armenia, the Holocaust during World War II, in Cambodia and Rwanda in the 90s, in Serbia. It's the same evil that's manifesting itself today in Darfur. We can't put an end to it because I believe, and I know you believe, that the power of love, the power of good, is way greater than all of the evil in this world. But it needs to start someplace. It needs to start with us taking responsibility for our part in this world. Well, we are really up against the clock this time, and I promised I'd read these letters, and I do need to get through some of them because I really appreciate them, and I really thank you for the encouragement and the comments I think that have to be heard by more people than just me. So I do want to go through some of them, and maybe we can make a whole segment where we just do letters one day because you have some incredible insight on life and faith. So I really appreciate them. Keep them coming. Here's a letter that comes from Taline in Cupertino. That is a small town on the southern portion of the San Francisco Bay Area. If you have an Apple computer, turn it over. Apple, what am I talking about? Am I dating myself? Macintosh computer, turn it over and you'll probably see the name Cupertino on there. That's where it's been built or created. So Talinet writes, I just listened to the Next Step podcast and may I just say wow? Yeah, you can say wow. That's neat. Thank you. Once again, you've done an amazing job. All messages were extremely touching and effective in showing the power and strength of faith. I really tend to not like talk radio, particularly when it concerns religion, but you do an amazing job of engaging the listener and making your message unique and non-judgmental. Well, thank you, Talina. That means a lot. Your musical inserts and tie-ins are a great touch. Thank you for doing this and giving people like me who can't attend your weekly sermons yet another chance to stay connected with your purpose. I look forward to listening to future additions to this series. And we look forward certainly to getting feedback from you and all of our listeners. So thank you. I really appreciate this, Talina. Let's see. Another letter comes to us from Arlington. I'm not sure which Arlington. I know there's one back east in Virginia. I know there's one in Arizona, too. Anyway, it's from Henry. It says, thanks, Father Voskin, for keeping true to your promise. You underscore the necessity to think when listening to your podcast. I have to tell you that your reading of Luke 4 gave me so much to think about. I would never have made the connection that the captives, oppressed, and the blind were so close to home. And are we to understand that this is an orthodox reading of the scriptures? Well, Henry, yes, it is an orthodox reading because we are orthodox, and that's the reading that we're doing. And I don't mean to be facetious, but that's what it's all about. That's what Armenian orthodoxy is all about. It's the here and now, not just something in the past. Yes, that's vital to have that continuity, to be connected, so to speak, the long chain with its first link, Jesus Christ. But that link continues, and it is continuing now. As I said, today's broadcast was sort of a piece in the puzzle. Trust me that next week, the tie-in will be even greater, because we will make that connection and come full circle. So trust me on that one. We have time for one more letter. This comes to us from, again, the San Francisco Bay Area. It is from the Krav, not sure how to pronounce that, but it says, we just finished listening to podcast number 6. They just keep getting better and better. Well, thank you. And are certainly something we look forward to doing regularly on Wednesday night. Your segment on dreams and what we need to do to fulfill them really hit home. We'll try to cast the fear and doubt aside and take the next step to make our dreams a reality. Hey, that's very poetic. Thank you. Can't say it's going to be easy, but worth a try. And yes, that's it. You gotta try. The addition of Gore's music was great as well. Looking forward to the new album. I'm glad you like that, because you're going to be hearing more and more of Gore in the coming weeks, especially as it gets closer to releasing his newest album of spiritual hits. I mean, I can't tell you how exciting things are these days. But anyway, stay tuned for more on that. And it's signed, all the best, A. Krav, or Krav, not sure how it's said. I apologize if I murdered that name, but I appreciate it very much that you took the time and you wrote, as I appreciate all of you who tuned in. If you want to send us a little bit of feedback, you can do so at feedback@epostle.net. You can also leave us some voicemail at 626 area code in the United States, 275 Amen. With that, I want to thank you all again. And for our producer, Susie, who happens to be en route from Armenia, coming back to mighty Glendale. And for our engineer, Ken, who's up there in the booth. And for myself, Father Voskin, we look forward to taking the next step with you again next week.